You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. It's March 1st, 2022. Michael K. and Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. We started off, Peter, right away with baseball because when people went to sleep last night, they felt good. They felt optimistic. They felt as if there was going to be a deal done.
Yep.
Now, for some reason or another, there's been a turn south. And several precincts are reporting that the owners have made their best deal. They have made their best offer for a deal. And that the deadline, which was extended yesterday to 5 o'clock today, that's the last offer they're going to make. Now, Evan Drylik, who's done a really good job along with Jesse Rogers in covering this entire thing. Evan works for the Athletic. This is what he just tweeted out. According to an MLB official, quote, "We thought that there was a path to a deal last night and that both sides were closing in on the major issues. They could make us a CBT proposal last night, so we agreed to extend the deadline to exhaust every option." That official goes on to say the MLBPA has a decidedly different tone today and made proposals inconsistent with the prior discussions. "We will be making our best offer before the 5 p.m. deadline for the MLBPA. That's a fair deal for players and clubs." Now, Drylik goes on to say union sources contend that its tone has been consistent since yesterday, that the players are very far apart on key issues such as CBT, thresholds, and the pre-arbitration bonus pool. No difference, the union believes, from today to yesterday in its view. So there we have it. There we have it. So if you felt positive when you went to bed last night, talks broke off at about 2 a.m. I got to be honest, I went to bed before that.
You did.
I'll be honest with you, Peter. I figured that if they settle, I find out when I wake up at 7 in the morning. If they didn't, I find out when I settle. They settle at 7 in the morning. I didn't have anything like from 2 to 7 that I would like suddenly do a, you know, a rogue show if, in fact, they settle. So I was good with sleeping through their negotiations. And you know what? I guessed right because they didn't sign anything. So that's where we are right now. The night of good feelings has turned into an afternoon of somewhat negativism, and we'll see. I mean, they're supposedly far apart on some money issues, and if they haven't even talked about the CBT that much yet, then that's problematic. The owners reportedly moved yesterday off the new penalties they had put in as part of their initial proposal, and they did come up in the numbers. I guess the first 3 years were 220. Right now, the tax threshold is 210 in the previous CBA. So it'd be 220, 220, 220 the first 3 years, and then it would go up from what I remember to about 240. The players had wanted more, but we'll see. The owners did take away the usurious penalties, including a 100% tax in the third year, but that's gone now. It's gone down to, I think, 65%. And, you know, not to get into the numbers, but the bottom line is this, Peter. If you thought there was going to be a deal yesterday, now there seems to be legitimate concern that there's not going to be a deal today. I do love one thing, though, when they say, well, the deadline is at 5. Just like there was a deadline yesterday, if there's any positive movement, you don't think that they pushed a deadline. And even Jeff Passan said yesterday, in canceling the March 31st opening day games, what would exactly be? I mean, could they push it to next week? I guess they could. There's going to be a lot of injuries, a lot of injuries. But players wouldn't want to miss paychecks, and if there's a settlement, the owners would want to start on the assigned opening day. So I think this is a soft deadline, but with the owner saying that this is our best and final offer, that gives you a little bit of pause that they feel that they've moved a lot off what they initially demanded, and the players feel that they've moved a lot off of what they initially demanded. So we sit and we wait and we count down until 5 o'clock. We'll have Buster Olney on with us at 4:30, giving us the latest of what we know and what he's finding out. But all the optimism of yesterday seems to have somewhat waned, Peter.
Michael, I wish I could say that I was surprised, but I'm not. It feels like this posturing on both sides is going to go until the absolute max. And it's kind of like you just said, we keep playing these games that there's a deadline, but we're still not at the true deadline yet. And my hunch is if it's going to get fixed, it's going to come at the absolute true last second, or unfortunately after a few missed weeks of baseball.
Now, one of the things that seems to be a sticking point, and I'm going to throw it out there for everybody to comment on, is that the players will agree to a 12-team postseason. The owners want a 14-team postseason. The owners have already sold that postseason to ESPN, or the first round of the postseason, for $100 million. So if what they envisioned in this deal goes away, I guess the $100 million goes away. But you can still do that first round without the 14 teams. Because what the first round essentially is six series of best of three. So the one-game wild card game will go away. And with the owner's proposal, the teams with the best record in the American League and the National League would get a bye. And the other six teams would play those three playoff series. And then the best, I guess it's up in the air a little bit, but the team with the best record, let's say the Yankees have the best record in the American League, and then they watch all three series unfold, and you know, one of the things that I've heard is that the Yankees would then get a chance to pick their opponent out of the remaining three teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two teams would play each other in a best of five. And then there would be an ALCS where it would be best of seven. Same thing in the National League. So if, in fact, the players hold firm on 12 teams, you could still have the three series in each league, which is what you've sold ESPN. But the players feel that there's not enough incentive the way it's set up. And I would agree that if the team with the best record in the American League or the team with the best record in the National League has to play a best of three, well, what's the incentive to win the division? We get back to what it used to be, Peter, where there was no incentive to win the division. So what the players have proposed is that in a best of three series, the team with the best record in the league would get one win starting out. So all they have to do is win one to win the series, and the other team would have to win two. So that's in the negotiating aspect of it. And a lot of people are screaming right now, well, there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball, and you're going to let 14 of them in? You're going to play the entire 162-game season to eliminate 16 teams? Now, I've always been a proponent of keeping the playoffs small. But I am also a realist and a capitalist. And if you can make more money, then you can make more money. And if you can keep more cities engaged and thinking they're going to the postseason, that's a good thing as well. And the more cities that you keep engaged, the less likely it is that those organizations would deal away players where they wouldn't have had a chance previously to make the postseason. It just amazes me, and it always has, and I guess it's a bit of a compliment that every other sport has a setup like this. Every other sport. Do you realize that with the play-in, Peter, that there are 10 teams in each conference in the NBA that essentially make the postseason?
Kind of. Yeah, it depends how you look at it.
That's
sure.
20 out of 30. Do people have suffer a theoretical stroke over that? The same thing with football. But in baseball, oh, you're devaluing the regular season. You're eliminating 16 of the 30 teams, and maybe during this five-year collective bargaining agreement, you're going to add two expansion teams to even it out with 16 teams in each league. Then all of a sudden, it would be 14 out of 32. It's just amazing that every other sport is allowed to do what they want. But when baseball tries to do something different, they get screamed at. They act as if they're defacing some religious artifact. And again, it's a compliment because baseball is revered to such a level, but it's also stuck in the mud. You tell me those six best-of-three playoff series wouldn't be fun. And I'm going to tell you, when you get through that and you get through the second round and then the third round in the World Series, my guess is you're going to get a legitimate World Series champion. Why is it okay for a wild card team in football to win the Super Bowl and nobody talks about an illegitimate champion? But here, while it wouldn't be a World Series champion, it would just be the team that outlasted everybody else. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, it would be that. And that's so terrible. It's amazing. Now, I understand what players are saying. We don't want 14 teams to make it because then there's going to be less urgency for those teams to have to make a trade and bring in salary to get better to make the playoffs. 14 out of 30, it's not as exclusive a club. I get it. But I think the owners could stand with the 12, and they still get their $100 million because they still give ESPN the six best-of-three playoff series. But it is amazing to me how baseball is held to this religious artifact standard that no other sport is. Only baseball is. And nobody loves baseball and reveres baseball as much as I do. Maybe they do as much as I do, but nobody does more. And I get it. I mean, things change.
Yeah, there is validity, and there is validity to not wanting to devalue a regular season that is such a slog. I mean, it is hard. That is a physically demanding, long, mentally demanding, really ridiculous regular season they have in baseball. So I understand wanting to keep the emphasis on that because it is so hard to win a division. But at the same time, I mean, what we're talking about essentially is more fan bases being involved and more money coming into the sport.
Right.
That's essentially what we're talking about.
Do you also realize, everybody, that until 1969, one team made the World Series from the National League, one team from the American League. There were no playoffs. Then in 1969, they actually had playoffs. They split into divisions. Oh, and the sport survived. And then they added wild card 95, and you know what? The sport survived. And I know that when this is finally settled, whenever that is, if it's today or in May or whatever, and they put patches, advertising patches on the uniform and the helmet, oh my, all hell is going to break loose. How could you deface a uniform like that? Meanwhile, soccer teams are named after their sponsors. Take a look at NYCFC. On the front of the jersey is Etihad Airways. No, he says a peep. The NBA has patches on their uniform. Nobody says a word. But if baseball does it, you're desecrating the Magna Carta. Come on, everybody. Loosen up a little bit.
Bring back the old days.
That's right.
There are too many people like that guy. There really are.
That's when men were men.
Right. You know, we play that because that actually occurred on the show, but that's the feelings of a lot of people. I don't know if you remember this, Peter, but Spider-Man first came out. The first movie, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think you're probably still in Maryland at this point. They had the nerve to put Spider-Man ads on the bases.
What?
For the movie.
This was for the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
I think it was the first, if that's the first one.
Yeah, that was the one from like 05 or something. It was wild.
Peter, people's heads exploded that they had to take the ads off the bases. Am I the only one that's pragmatic in the world? How does that change the game that you had a stupid ad on the bases? How does it change the game if you have in Japan, they have logos on the helmet they sell, and you got to get the player's approval to actually sell the patches and the stickers on the helmet? It's unbelievable to me. And then people are going to react adversely when it happens. Oh, there's so much impediment to getting a deal done. Now, Alex Wood, who's an active major league player, just tweeted out, for what it's worth, MLB is pumped to the media last night and today that there's momentum toward a deal. Now saying the player's tone has changed. So if a deal isn't done today, it's our fault. This isn't a coincidence. We've had the same tone all along. We just want a fair deal to play ball.
It's amazing. Baseball. I love baseball.
You could love it, and they keep shooting themselves in the foot. So, again, the war of words out there. I don't know why baseball would care that the players would be blamed because they changed their tone. Because I think baseball has to realize more people are on the player side this time than the owners, and they could try to win the public sentiment war. I don't think it matters. I don't care. I've been saying from the very beginning, I don't care. Just get it done. The side that's being greedy, be less greedy. I don't know the side that's being greedy. And the side that is being, pragmatic might have to move a little bit, closer to the other side than they would want to. You want to play baseball? You want to play baseball. And everybody, we had Jeff Passan on yesterday. It was a great spot. Great spot. And he said that the players are really united, and that they would sit out the entire season. How ridiculous is that?
It's the game of baseball.
How ridiculous is it for the owners to let that happen? And how ridiculous is it for the players to take a year off their career that they'll never get back, and they'll never get that money back? Ever. So both sides could be as tough as they want, and they could, they could rip their shirt off and sit at the top of the mountain and flex and go, we're not giving in. Okay, who's the loser? The sport's the loser. And I will, if I could give one bit of advice to the players, I think it's great that you're united. That's what a union's all about, that you don't crack, that there's no fissures, whatever. I get it. But you're never getting this money back if, in fact, you lose the whole season. And there will be a deal. At some point, there will be a deal. So you would have lost money that you can't get back. I think it's wonderful that you're united. But there have to be. I've been saying this from the very beginning, since December 2nd, when the lockout began. Cooler heads have to prevail on both sides. I mean, from the outside looking in, you could see there's a deal there. There's a deal. And I've been saying from the very beginning, the thing that frustrates me about this whole thing, I can't identify the eventual blinker. Because somebody's going to blink. So we keep hearing, well, the owners don't mind losing April because, the smaller market teams, they don't get good attendance in April anyway, and it's cold, a lot of canceled games, empty stadiums, so they lose money in April. Oh, well, the players hear this stuff, so then what if the players go, well, let's test, see how much you like losing May?
That's a joke as far as I'm concerned.
I think you could hear from the tone of my voice, I'm getting a little frustrated.
Who's talking now?
Getting a little frustrated. It's not good. I went to bed last night feeling pretty good about things, and then it seems like it's been unraveling for the whole day since they started meeting again at 10 a.m. So was that some grand tease last night? And is it some grand plan that the owners are saying, hey, the players backed out on it, so they look bad, or that this way no one can file any kind of claim and say that it was an unfair labor practice? I don't know what's going on. This is above my pay grade. So maybe they weren't as close last night as we thought. Maybe they were, and different people in the union spoke up and said, no, we're giving up too much. Maybe different people in ownership spoke up and said, no, we're giving up too much. Two sides, very stubborn, very united, a lot of firepower on both sides. It seems like Max Scherzer has taken a very active role in the negotiations, and I give him a lot of credit, man. This guy's, most of his career is in his rearview mirror. He's got 3 years maybe in the front mirror or in the windshield. And he's willing to give away money that he'll never get back. He can never recoup that money because he's not going to play long enough. I mean, if you're Juan Soto, you'll recoup the money. But guys that have contracts until they're 37, 38, that's it. They're giving away money that they will never, ever, ever see again for the good of the union. I mean, that there's something valorous about that. There really is. But you wonder about the players that don't make all that much money, how united they're going to stand if they lose a month of pay. And the big market owners. You can't tell me that they don't make money when they open their gates. How ticked off are the Steinbrenners and the Cohens and the John Henrys and the Guggenheim Group in L.A.? How ticked off are they going to be? Because I've told you 100 times, this isn't just players against owners. This is small market against big market and mid-market against big market. Any deal they throw out there, Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, Mets, and the Red Sox would make work. Every single one. You think they want this nonsense? Now they're trying to stay united for their brethren, but that's the chink in the armor here. The chink in the armor is this. The small market teams have enough votes to derail the entire thing and hold the sport hostage. And that's the fundamental problem with the way the baseball is actually structured. Because there is not overall revenue sharing where they put all their money into a pot and everybody's on equal footing. There are the haves and the have not so much. In football, Jacksonville makes the same money as Dallas. They have the same payroll as Dallas. They have the same cap as Dallas. Green Bay has the same cap as the New York Giants. But Tampa Bay has a different payroll structure than the Dodgers. Pittsburgh has a different payroll structure than the Mets. The Marlins have a different payroll structure than most of the teams. And everybody has an individual agenda that they have to try to fulfill. Makes it very, very tough to get a deal. Very tough. Because there's a lawsuit going on from the Players Association against the Orioles, the Pirates, and I think it might be the Marlins, that they have not used their revenue-sharing funds to get players, and they've pocketed the salaries. And one of the proposals the owners made is they want the players to drop that lawsuit. And the thinking is, well, then you could get those three teams on board for something that might not benefit the smaller market teams that much. That's why they're all running scared, and they're trying to protect their backside. I feel sorry for the bigger market teams. It's like they're in a different sport. They're in a different sport. They could be shopping for a Rolls Royce, all the big market teams, and not blink, and the other teams are shopping at the Kia store. No knock on Kia, but it's a little less expensive. So that's where we are. Hopefully, somehow, it gets done by 5 o'clock. But I will tell all of our listeners out there, don't panic so much about 5 o'clock. If they're close at 5 o'clock, they'll push the deadline again. But if they're not, then 5 o'clock, we'll be on the air and we'll tell you that's it. It's over. Opening day has been canceled or whatever. Because at some point, if you keep making deadlines, then deadlines don't count. I'm sure the owners are going to think that too. So yesterday was the hard deadline. Then it was moved to 5 o'clock today. And if they don't have a deal by 5 o'clock today, I think the owners will start canceling games. And that's really, really, really unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. There's also a picture out there that seems to be gaining a lot of traction, and it just shows you that people are willing to jump on anything to demonize anybody. I'll tell you about that when we get back in just a moment, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Even the great ones could be wrong, Peter.
Okay.
So if there are six teams that make the playoffs, well, you can't have three best of three series because there'd be one team left with nobody to play. So what the players are proposing is you have two best of three series, and then the teams with the two best records in the league have a bye, and then they play the winners of the wild card game. So they would not get the $100 million from ESPN because there wouldn't be six best of three series. There'd just be four. So that's why the owners are holding firm on the seven, because this way there would be three, and the one bye would get, you know, the winner of one of the other series. All right, so this is where we stand right now, according to Evan Drelick. The Players Association offered to drop its request on the new pre-arbitration bonus pool to $85 million in the first year, with a $5 million increase annually over the course of the deal. Union previously was at $115. MLB has offered $25 million. So the Players are $85. MLB is at $25. Now, the competitive balance tax, the most recent offers by each. This year, the Players wanted it $238. The owners have it at $220. 2023, Players have it going to $244. Owners at $220. 2024, $240 to $220. 2025, the Players want it $256. The owners go to $224. And then 2026, it's $263, according to the Players. The owners wanted it $230. On the minimum salary, the Players' latest offer starts at $725, with increases of $20,000 in the first few years of the deal, then a different increase later. MLB has offered $675 with $10,000 increases. That offer was made yesterday. So, of all those things I just mentioned, Peter, that's the one I think is the most doable. You know, just meet in the middle. Well, I mean, what's the big deal with the minimum salary? But when you've got that much of a difference in the competitive balance tax, that's not good. That's not good.
Not what you want.
No, Joe, it's not. Now, here's the other thing. So, an Associated Press photographer got a shot on one of the balconies of Roger Dean Stadium, where they've been doing this negotiations since last week. On a balcony outside of a room is Rob Manfred standing there taking a mock golf swing. Oh, my goodness. It's like he killed puppies. That's why the negotiations are going so long. You know, he's practicing his golf swing. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, who's saying that?
Everybody, you see it on social media. What an awful look. What an awful look. Do you know that everybody I work with doing games at Yes, everybody, between innings, stand up and do a fake golf swing. They're not concentrating on their job? It is amazing. So everybody that hates the owners, right? Rob Manfred is now the Antichrist. The fact that he took a golf swing while they're going back and forth with the Players, he's not engaged. That's why this is taking so long. There are people out there that actually believe that and are selling that and are upset that there's a picture of him taking a fake golf swing. Paul O'Neill used to take fake swings in right field. Was he not concentrating on the game? I mean, come on, everybody. You want to make him the bad guy, make him the bad guy. But that's just dumb. That's just reaching. Take a fake golf swing. I see that, it all the time.
I mean, that is reaching to a. If anyone plays golf on even the worst level like me, I very often, if I'm standing up in a conversation doing nothing, will take a golf swing.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
It's not a thing.
Oh, but you'll see the picture online, Peter. It's being circulated like they just found the Shroud of Turin. It's unbelievable. Oh, that's why there's no deal done. Look what he's doing.
Hold on. I got to see first for myself.
All right. Rick DiPietro just said that from the ESPN deal, if it's a 12-team playoff, it's $85 million. If it's 14 teams, it's $100 million. So that's not a deal breaker, $15 million. $15 million for each team would be $500,000. That, I don't think that's a deal breaker. And then the ads on the jerseys and the helmets estimated to bring in $150 million a year for the 30 teams. All right, let's go to the phones. Have you seen the picture yet, Peter?
Wow, a journalist here. It says New Yorker.
Right.
Manfred worked on his golf swing while baseball burned. Remember this, fans.
Really? Remember this? Remember this?
This clown is out here practicing his golf swing at the negotiations while the sport he's handsomely paid to oversee is barreling towards a cliff. Get rid of this clown.
Is that just a fan or is that somebody?
No, that's a fan. I mean, listen, I have my own issues with Manfred, but this is not it, guys. Come on. Please, stop
yourself. Taking a golf swing. So the people inside could be like calling owners right now. There's nothing for him to do. He's presented them with the proposal he just negotiated with the players. And, I mean, everybody said, well, he's not making the decision. The owners are making the decision. So he stepped outside to get a breath of fresh air and took a fake golf swing, and all hell has broken loose. It's his fault. Well, if we don't have baseball and games are canceled, it's because of that fake golf swing.
In all fairness, it's not that many people crushing it. Don't overdo it, Michael. You also fall for the trap of everyone saying, well, it's just Twitter. It's a few people.
It's not a few.
I mean, it's a bunch, but like relative to how many people there are who care about this, it's not a big number. They're yo-yos.
Well, but there's some, I don't want to name names, there's some significant yo-yos in our business that are saying it.
Go ahead, tell me one.
I don't want to.
Significant yo-yos. By the name of my 14th book, by the way.
I can't wait for the other 13. Let's go.
Reveal yourself to me!
Let's go to the phones. By the way, Don doing better. His doctor's appointment was pushed tomorrow. So we're hoping
if we get pushes.
On where Don stands by tomorrow.
But he seems he did shave
because he heard that I said that, you know, he's given up. He did shave, you know, the neck hair. That now made him look like, you know, Grizzly Adams.
It's going to be interesting too. When Don comes back, if we get the hair thing done soon, between the weight I'm sure he's lost being sick and the haircut, he could look like a real psycho. Although, I'll tell you what, I think the haircut's going to help now that he's even thinner.
Oh, he's going to have people, like, falling at his feet, women and men.
I know. Everyone.
All right, let's go to the phones.
I like Keith, a lot of guys.
Yeah, you do. Keith in New Jersey, you're first today. What's up, Keithy?
How you doing?
Good, you?
First, I want to say, love the show.
Thank you.
Just to give a little shout-out to Peter, you guys have been an A-plus all the time I'm listening to you, and when you added him to the show, it was an A++. So thank you for that.
Thank you,
thanks,
Keith.
I want to preface this by saying, Michael, I don't know if you're allowed to discuss this topic because of your Yankee situation. So if you can't, I will respect that and not go there. But all of this talk you're doing about change in baseball, the things on the jerseys, all this stuff that should change like other sports. My issue is this. I watch a baseball game with my nephew. And if the Yankees or the Red Sox are on, sometimes he has no idea who the player is because the Yankees and Red Sox refuse to put the names on the jerseys because of culture, because of history, because of all this. And personally, not a Yankee fan, but they should change that. If you want to adapt and you want baseball to adapt and you want the history to adapt, at a minimum, how could you put logos on jerseys but two teams still to this day refuse to put their players' names because they asked.
I just
think it should change.
Keith, first of all,
and I know,
I if you've listened to the show a long time, nobody tells me what I can or cannot discuss. Second of all, come on. I mean, the reason they don't do that is it's charming. I can't believe that your nephew doesn't know who the players are when every time they come up to the plate, they're fonted, and every time they make a play in the field, the announcer says their name. Please. That's a good thing. The Yankees need the names on the back of the uniforms. The Red Sox at home need the names on the back of the, that's silliness.
Now, you know, I think the Yankees should do road jerseys with names because I think it would be cool. But that was a tough argument, Keith. If you were gonna make the argument he should have made was on the facial hair. That I think is if you want to poke the Yankees on something that's silly to try to get Michael's goat. I think you go with the facial hair rules, not the jerseys. That's just a tradition. That's just a specific thing that they like.
It's a tradition. I mean, I'm sorry if your nephew doesn't know who the 6'8" guy in right field is. It's Aaron Judge, kid.
Well, I mean, him and Stanton are both very tall.
99, baby. Come on.
What's up, All Rise?
That is somewhat sketchy, man. Of all the things. That moves them into the 21st century that they put names on their uniforms? That's silliness. I don't know if we should engage that. In fact, I won't. Let's go to Joseph in New Jersey. Joseph.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Good stuff. Michael, I just have three things. I'll go pretty quickly. I want to get everybody in and not hog everybody's time. Number one, I've seen numerous reports that Hal Steinbrenner is quoted as wanting a luxury tax reduction to $180 million. I've seen it in more than a few places. So that's number one. Number two, I have a solution on the whole service time issue. It's really not that intelligent, but it is kind of commonsensical. I would start everybody's clock when they actually report to work, and not when they go to the majors. So if you're buried in the minors the way people could argue Aaron Judge was, start the 6 years when he reports to the Yankees, and that way you're not manipulating anybody's service time. You would want to bring them up anyway to maximize their time and their service, sort of like the NFL with quarterbacks.
Well, your service time clock starts when you put on the 40-man roster. So once they do that, and if you're not brought up to the team, then the team has to expose you to the Rule 5 draft. So there is an escape route for someone who's held down there. As for the 180, I have not read that Hal Steinbrenner was for or against it, but he's part of the ownership executive committee. That was the first offer they made, by the way. $180 million tax, $180 million limit, but $100 million floor. I don't know which owners pushed that or not, whether he was for that or not, but the players are diametrically opposed to a salary cap, which I get. And they say, well, it doesn't make for a free market system, and that they want a free market where people could bid whatever they want to bid. Well, since they gave in on the luxury threshold, they essentially put, you know, this is a cap with training wheels. So if in fact you agreed to a cap and got the other teams to have a minimum $100 million, there's going to be more money out there in the player pool, I would think. And the players have long held firm on the luxury tax, so I know it's a hot-button issue. But one thing I would say, you look at the other sports, every other major sport has a cap, and people are being paid fabulous amounts of money. The NBA has a cap. And the next contract that James Harden signs, he makes $60 million a year, more than any baseball player in a sport that's uncapped. Then take a look at the money that the quarterbacks in football are getting, more than any player in baseball is making. So somehow, the great ones get paid as much money as they're going to need to be paid. Now, in a perfect world, should there be a free market system? Absolutely. But the other sports have somehow made it work, and the players are not complaining that they're having their salaries held down. And that has been the long battle between this union and this ownership group. The ownership group is hot and heavy. They'd love to get a tax. So that gives them definitive cost of what they have to spend. And the players don't want it. And I think one of the reasons the players don't want it, they don't trust the accounting. But when you say free market system, when James Harden could make $60 million a year, and the next, and I believe that LeBron's making $50 million a year, nobody in baseball is even close in a non-capped sport. And over the last 4 years, salaries have gone down. In a cap sport, they can't go down because you have to spend up to a certain level. And the bottom feeders, like the Guardians and the Pirates and the Marlins, they'd have to spend $100 million. Now, the numbers are workable. Maybe 180 is too low. Maybe it should be 210 and bring the other ones up to like 90. I don't know. But I think that's a non-starter. That's just whistling in the graveyard. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And I think the only reason it doesn't ever have a chance of happening is because that was a big thing with Marvin Miller. He would never agree to a tax or a cap. Every other sport has survived and thrived with caps. I'm not advocating for it. But I'm saying the other three sports, everybody's doing quite well. Kay Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This is not the end of baseball in our time, right? So there's going to be a settlement at some point.
Right.
So somebody's going to give in at some point.
Well, someone's going to have to know when to walk away or when to run.
Right. So why can't you have that time be today rather than May? Well, you can irreparably, not irreparably, but you could harm the sport in some way.
Well, but hold on. Listen to all the words. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. Eh?
There's time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
So maybe that message is about, you know, walking away from the table to figure things out before you come back. Eh? Eh?
They had, I believe, 43 days both sides away from the table. From December 2nd to their first negotiation. Let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Michael in New Jersey. Michael?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, my phone's about to die.
Oh, that's not good.
Hello? Yeah. I actually realized something. Every single guy, before I get to my point, who compliments Peter before they talk, they usually say a stupid point.
That's not true.
But
that's simply not true.
I like you, Mike.
Thank you.
I like you, Mike. I don't like Peter. I'm not going to get into it. But I don't know why everyone is talking baseball when if Kyrie Irving would be on the Knicks, this story would blow up the town. And then you have Peter talking about Chuck E. Cheese last night. I just want to know, why is this not like a story that's like that everyone is just like crushing over here? Like
we have done it over and over and over again. Thank you for programming the show and taking your little subtle.
No, that was so. Do you guys listen? Our people, our family, those, you know, you guys, the real ones,
the Ramily.
Do you hear that? Like, can you make it more obvious that you hate me for what perceived political stuff? His whole angle essentially was, Michael, A, I don't like Peter, specifically referencing anger on my Chuck E. Cheese comparison last night, which really struck a chord with people. And furthermore, then saying, no, you guys should talk about how angry you are over the vaccine mandate all day. That's what you want? Oh, my God. You have me begging to talk about the baseball stoppage. Come on.
We talk a lot about
that
Kyrie.
Was the take.
I mean, how many times you want to pound it over the head?
And you answered your own question, by the way. Now, he had an agenda because he obviously is anti-vaccine and wanted that to get out there. But you answered your own question. You said if he was on the Knicks, we'd be talking about it ad nauseum. Yeah, he's not on the Knicks. We've talked about that. Come on, dude. If any of these guys, Michael, if Kyrie, KD, or Ben Simmons was on the Knicks, we'd be talking about the Knicks of 50% more than we currently are, and certainly more than the Nets. They're not. They're not there. The story's in Brooklyn, and unfortunately, we spent time talking about this yesterday. For whatever reason, the Brooklyn Nets, Michael talked about the ratings yesterday. They're getting a 0.7 in the ratings. They just don't push people the same way the Knicks do.
The only way they're going to really be relevant is that they win a championship, because they're more of a national team, and maybe New York will take notice if they won a championship. And the way they played yesterday, not good. Got their backsides handed to them by Toronto. There's a lot of people that hate you, Peter. It's so sad. I don't know how you go through life.
Well,
like that.
It was so validating. You know, people who call up and say they like Peter always then make a dumb point. Then he says, I like you, Michael, and goes on to make a moronic point. So I'm happy with how that actually turned out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go to Richard in Connecticut. Richard.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Richard.
Hello. Michael, I've been a Yankee fan since 1954. I was born in Brooklyn. My father watched great teams of the late 20s and the early 30s. And I'm just disgusted, Michael.
Who was your favorite? Which Yankee team was your favorite of the Yankee teams?
The 27 Yankees who played baseball the right way, Peter.
What's your problem with today?
You'll laugh because you don't know baseball. You were brought on this show, but you don't know baseball, Peter.
After the 27 Yankees, what was your favorite after that one?
Can I make my point now?
Yes, please make your point.
Mike, Carlos Stanton and other players are making over $300 million. they can't hit a shade over 260, Michael. You don't think that's adding to this?
No. They get nobody put a gun to their head.
His name's Giancarlo Stanton, sir.
Oh, that's the most helpful you've been in years on this show.
You know what, Richard? I think you're making up the whole voice and everything.
Yeah, I like that. You should. I don't know
why
you're
a Yankee fan since 1954.
I like that.
I mean, he's making himself out to be like 80, and I think he's like a 30-year-old trying to sound 80.
He was, but I like that he said his team is the 27 Yankees.
Here's the deal. If what he said was like legitimate, right, nobody in Giancarlo Stanton's agency put a gun to the head of Jeffrey Loria and made him give him $325 million. So, unless I find out that teams are being held hostage and their families are being taken away in order to get a contract, I'm not going to have a problem with what they get paid. They get paid what owners decide they're worth. That doesn't mean that you have to hit a certain number to make $325 million for your career. No, no. That's what somebody decided you were worth. Stop.
That was a prank caller, so it's not worth – I don't think we need to spend too much time going into what he was saying.
Right. But you know, in the off the temp that he's in the off chance that he's just an incredibly young sounding 85-year-old.
That's true. You don't want to risk it.
You don't want to risk it.
Because I know how you feel about the old, even if he annoyed you.
I love the old. I hope I'm one day part of the old.
You want to join the old. You can't wait to join.
I want to be part of the elderly too.
Wait, hold on. Where do you draw?
I love the old.
Between the elderly and the old.
All right, the old is like in their 70s.
Okay.
The elderly, I believe, is in their 80s.
What? You really? You think old is younger than elderly?
Yeah.
Does everyone think that?
Of course.
Andrew? You also think elderly is older than old?
Old then elder? You know what? I don't know. I really don't know.
I feel like the elderly, right? The Lee to me softens it, whereas the old is just feels old and decrep. But elderly, you know, it's like you're old-ish. See what I'm saying? So wait, you're saying my parents are old, is what you're saying.
Your parents are old, they're not elderly yet. I think elderly is older than old.
We got to ask some of the old and the elderly.
You know what, let's call up, let's get Harry on the phone. Harry, are you
old? Oh, that's
or
a great
elderly?
Question. We could ask Harry, who sent me a beautiful, I got to show Harry some of the pictures of Bear wearing his new Maryland shirt.
I would like to see those as well. A little snug?
A little snug, but
looks
great.
Well, you know, Bear's eating a little too much.
Wow.
But Bear is a dog. He's elderly. He can eat whatever he wants.
What a moment in time.
Oh, this is big news. John Gruden, former Raiders coach, just sold his home in Vegas for $7.5 million. Last year he paid $4.3 million for it. Good to see things going well for John.
Yo, that I was randomly the other day watching a clip. What was the clip? I was watching some old Kaepernick highlights from like the because I told you I saw Spike Lee about first Kaepernick documentary.
Right.
And I was like, I want to go back and kind of like relive the beginning of Kaepernick to like jog my memory. And I pulled up a Kaepernick highlight video, and it was Kaepernick's first start after he'd been brought in to replace Alex Smith. His first start came in a Monday night game, and Gruden was on the call, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there talking about Colin Kaepernick, the football player, blah, 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 blah. And I just had this moment, Michael, where I thought, man, if that guy stays in the booth, he probably rides out all of his days just doing that job.
And, you know, is in the $18 million a year range.
Getting big, big money, cushy weekly job, pretty good job, travels a couple days a week, gets to be the voice of Monday Night Football, and no one ever knows the despicable things that he said in the dark.
John Heyman reporting, sources have told them players are expected to vote no on the best and final Major League Baseball proposal. 5 o'clock is the deadline, 59 minutes away. We'll take a brief timeout, 1-800-919-3776. The Combine in Indianapolis is happening. Some news out of there. We'll talk about that. It's Kay Rosenbergen, you on Yes, and 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Have you felt positive when you went to bed last night? The night of good feelings has turned into an afternoon of somewhat negativism, and we'll see. I mean, they're supposedly far apart on some money issues, and if they haven't even talked about the CBT that much yet, then that's problematic.
I wish I could say that I was surprised, but I'm not. It feels like this posturing on both sides is going to go until the absolute max, and it's kind of like you just said, we keep playing these games that there's a deadline, but we're still not at the true deadline yet. And my hunch is if it's going to get fixed, it's going to come at the absolute true last second, or unfortunately after a few missed weeks of baseball.
The Michael K. Show.
I love baseball.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so the voting is in, Peter. Those on Twitter believe that elderly is older than old.
Wow.
Fun with numbers. Big contributor to the show said there's old, then there's elderly, then there's ancient. Blanderson Hooper said Peter's belief that elderly is younger than old is a horrific take. Wow. Elderly is clearly older than old.
Wow. Well, I have other things that say, I have a tweet that says elderly is old to Jace from Frank. Casey on Fire says, I think I'd rather be an elder than just straight up old.
Well, what would you rather? Well, an elder is different than elderly, I believe.
Someone said old, elderly, ancient. That's the order.
Yeah, old, elderly, ancient. That's fun with numbers said that. Ancient is the oldest.
I mean, listen, people call me old, okay? So I guess it can really cover a lot.
Old is in the eye of the be older.
I love the old.
All right, so they have their yearly Bacchanal in Indianapolis, the NFL measures people's hands and how they jump and looks at them in their underwear and then asks them questions and gives them Wonderlic test and the whole deal. And they overanalyze and paralysis by analysis and many times pick the wrong person.
It's one of the weirdest events in sports.
It is. It's kind of degrading.
Dude, come on.
I understand why the players have to do it, but boy, it's degrading. Okay, I just played 40 college games. Not enough? That's not enough for you. Instead, There's that picture that lives forever for poor Tom Brady standing there in his underwear, clearly an undefined body, no muscle tone at all, and he has to live with that the rest of his life. Why was that? Why would that even be made public?
The whole thing is, I've never had an interest in it. And honestly, if you're not like an NFL scout, like you're a regular human being and you have interest in the combine, you're a friggin' weirdo. Let's just call it what it is. All you wait for during this week, Michael, is to hear what conversations are happening at the hotel bars at night.
And then this guy, this poor Kenny Pickett, the quarterback from Pitt.
Yeah.
Oh, they can't wait to measure his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta
yeah.
measure his hand. Woo-hoo! Have to measure his hand. His hand, I read today, is double jointed. This is the stuff they find out.
Wait. So the how you measure his hand is more important than how said hand throws the football?
Yes,
the
because they say that the NFL football is slightly larger than the college football. And though he had a very nice career in college, you know, little tiny hands, you know, like the woman in the Lawrence Welk sketch on SNL, Kristen Wiig, I don't think she could throw a football with those tiny hands. But I'm sure his hands are big enough that he could throw a football and hold on to it. But there are a lot of quarterbacks that were thought to have small hands, and they did just fine. Here's what jumped out at me so far about the combine, which essentially just started. Joe Douglas is there, but Robert Saleh's not. So I know that Robert Saleh, you know, what was it, the Senior Bowl he coached? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So we got to look at some college prospects. But why wouldn't he be there? Because Brian Daboll's there with Joe Shane. Again, it's just an optic situation. I mean, Joe Douglas is going to be the guy drafting. But don't you want your coach to be another set of eyes for you, I would think? I mean, I know that Saleh has six kids, but so does Daboll. And, you know, I can't figure out why he's not there. I mean, the cost of a hotel in Indianapolis is not going to break the Jets and Woody Johnson. So I don't understand why he's not there. That I don't get.
I mean, maybe it's a skill. Maybe he doesn't consider himself much of a scout, and he does better taking information from scouts. And he just processes and then makes decisions. But I agree with you from an optic standpoint. You know, if Robert Saleh is the guy you're trusting to run this whole operation, and by the way, he sort of gives us that trust because that's sort of the kind of guy he is. Although I do have faith in Joe Douglas. I see why you'd want him to be there.
Now, how do you pronounce the Giants GM name again?
Joe Schoen.
Yeah. There it is. Well, he was there, and he is there, and he spoke to the media today, and he was asked, how do you plan to use your draft picks? He has two early in the first round. Here's Joe Shane.
I'll be open to anything. I'm open for business. If somebody wants to move up and we move back or get a 2023 pick, again, I'll be looking to do what's best for, you know, the New York Giants 2022 and beyond. So, again, compete today, build for the future. But so I'm going to plan for staying there. I'm going to find seven players that I like, and I'm going to know I can sleep good at night. And if somebody calls and it makes sense for us to move back, or if there's somebody we love, you know, a couple spots up and we can go get them with the draft capital, I'm good with that. But we're going to keep all options open.
Now, he was also asked, will you bring in competition at quarterback for Jones?
We're going to bring in competition everywhere, but Daniel Jones is our starting quarterback right now. And again, listen, he was injured last year, and they had a backup quarterback. Again, if we did the same thing with Josh Allen last year, I think the backup quarterback is one of the more important positions in the league. So it's something we're going to look at and we're going to address. But it's not just quarterback; it's across the entire league. I think building depth is going to be a priority. It may be a little bit harder early on, but as you continue to build your team over the years, you know, that's how you're allowed to create more depth.
Well, a little shot there. You know, they had Mitch Trubisky as a backup in Buffalo. Wouldn't be a bad guy to bring in for the Giants, a former first-round draft pick for the Bears. The Giants had no one. I mean, once Daniel Jones went down, their season went to the toilet. Spun around and around and around and then right down the drain. They did not have a competent backup. Mike Glennon was not a competent backup. Just wasn't. And then they brought in Jake from State Farm, who was, like, on the practice squad with Buffalo, and he was terrible. They had no competitive chance after Daniel Jones went down. If I'm the Giants, Peter, I bring in a legitimate quarterback that will battle Jones for the starting spot. Jones has earned no scholarship here. If he gets beaten out in training camp, he gets beaten out in training camp. Let him be the backup. Now, Brian Daboll, a new first-time head coach, was the offensive coordinator in Buffalo, and he was asked, are you going to call the plays?
We'll get to there. I think we met this morning where we met last night with the players, and we're just laying the foundation now. But again, have a lot of confidence in Mike, and once we get to that point, I'll let you guys know.
It's amazing. It's amazing. These guys, there's a media availability, Peter, and everybody has a responsibility to ask questions. And then in those three cuts, did they answer any question?
No.
I'm going to do what's best for the Giants with the two draft picks, you know. We'll try to win today, Bill. For again, it's all like boilerplate nonsense. But we have a responsibility to ask those questions, but they're not going to illuminate. Their job is to protect their proprietary information. They're not going to make it available to you. That's why when people like guess who the team is going to take, they're just sending out what they want sent out to get a feel and to send to other organizations. They're not going to tell you what they really do. I know it kind of like diminishes, you know, what a lot of people in our business do, but there's no way that anybody's telling you who they're going to pick, except maybe the first pick in the draft. I mean, we all knew Jacksonville was going to take
Trevor
Lawrence. We knew it. And they didn't even say they were definitely going to do that until right at the end because they're seeing if they could heist anybody. So it's all fun and games. I mean, that's what this is. I mean,
until someone's eye gets poked out.
Right. The serious stuff is going on other places in the world. You know, we've had this debate about elderly against old, and here's our man who's going to solve it for us, our good friend Harry in Englewood Cliffs. Harry, elderly and old, what's older, yeah. Old or elderly? Harry?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We just want to know what's old. Older? Old or elderly?
All right, I have two items, and then I'll give you my opinion on that one. Okay. First,
here we go.
Foremost is hoping and wishing Don getting back very soon. He's sorely missed.
Yes, he is.
And that's the main reason for my call. And then for the idiot that hates Peter, I should hate him because I hate wrestling. I hate hip-hop, and I hate boxing, but I love Peter.
How about that?
Easy to love that guy.
Wow, that's nice,
now,
huh, Pete?
Now, number three, on the elderly, I'll put it in tennis terms.
All right.
If you've been playing tennis with somebody for years and you have trouble returning his serve, you're elderly. When you can't return his serve, then you're old.
Think elderly is younger than old?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Now that's my opinion. I feel elderly is when you're getting up to being old.
Do you miss playing tennis?
Oh yeah! Oh my God!
Yeah,
you love it.
Yeah. And not only the playing, you know, some people have one or two or lucky enough to have one or two or three good friends. I must have 30, which I could call good friends. And a lot of it is through my relationship playing tennis.
Now, do you go to the club and watch them play tennis now? Or do you just don't even go anymore?
I'm sorry?
Do you go to the club and watch them play tennis, or do you not go anymore?
Yeah, I go watch the players I used to play with, yes.
Okay. When's your next birthday, Harry? When isn't that coming up?
June 24th, more months, so I'll be 99.
99!
Wow, 99, baby!
Yeah.
We got a drop for you.
I love it.
And you guys, I'll tell you, being that I'm not as active as I used to be, your program is I'm choking up a little bit.
No.
It's such a big part of my life. I look forward to it every day.
We love you, Harry.
I sit and watch with Brian. Oh, I know. I wanted to ask Peter. How long did it take to get that? We sent that jersey to you like about 6 months ago.
So did you see the part of the show when I showed it that I received it?
I did. I watched your show 100%.
Okay, great. So the reason I didn't get it,
I forgot
then,
what it looked like.
I had not been in the studio since the holidays, so it was my first time in the studio. So it had been there. I just received it though.
I forgot that.
It was beautiful, and I'll tell you what. I'm going to send a picture over right now to the Yes guys, so we can show the picture, so you can see Bear wearing the Maryland shirt that you gave him.
Oh, that would be adorable.
I'm sending it right now.
Oh, I'm so happy.
All right, Harry, you be well. Talk to you soon, Harry. Thank you, buddy.
And I still love you, Peter.
Appreciate you,
even
Harry. You
I
too,
hate
buddy.
Boxing and wrestling.
Thank you.
See, well, I mean, Harry says he loves you. Don't you feel about older people like I do?
No, I feel
just
that way about Harry.
Specifically about Harry, okay.
Just Harry. If Harry was young and treated me that way, I'd love him. And if he was the same age and act like a jackwagon, I would hate him. I treat people how they deserve to be treated based on the attitude that they have. He is a wonderful man.
Yes, he is. Let's go to Ira, another wonderful man. Ira in Staten Island. Ira.
Hey, Michael, how are you, Peter? Boy, that's a tough call to follow. Good for Harry, and God bless him, and best wishes to Don. You know, really miss him a lot, and hopefully he's healing. You know, Michael, both of you hit it perfectly with the combine. For years, now I get it, I'm not a professional scout, and I've always said, listen, the tapes don't lie, that's all you need. But, you know, you both of you, both exposed, the NFL with the combine is the most overrated, ridiculous thing. I get you might get something with the medicals, but anything on the field to me is a complete waste of time. You get more Vernon Golston's than anything else over there. And you know what? Good for the Rams. Sean McVay and I think Snead's a GM.
Yep.
They came out and they basically said what I just said. They are not now. They may not have a draft pick for the next 10 years. They traded everything away, but at the end of the day, they said, we're going by college analytics, certain things with that. But football players play football. We're watching game tape. We're not going to go to the combine. And good for them, because this is the most overrated, ridiculous thing. And you're right, Peter. This is all about setting up the following week for free agency. That's the bottom line.
Let me ask you a question, though, Ira. Don't you find it a little curious that Douglas is there but Saleh's not?
Yeah, I do. Now, I know, I think maybe one or two might not be, but I think, I mean, I don't know Saleh's business. I'm not sure what the deal is. But, yeah, I would think considering going into year two, if they're on the same page. Now, listen, maybe Saleh gets his work done virtually. I mean, that's possible. But quite frankly, I would have been more comfortable if he was there, even though you can't get much out of it. But I would like to see if the head coach, if he has interest in something. I think the medical and the interviews would be good for Saleh to be there. I'm surprised he's not.
Yeah, I'd like to know the real reason. Thanks, Ira. We appreciate it. Jeff Passan just tweeted this out.
Oh, Lord.
Breaking, MLBPA player leaders agreed unanimously not to accept Major League Baseball's final proposal, and there will be no deal on a new collective bargaining agreement before MLB's 5 p.m. Eastern deadline, sources tell ESPN. MLB has threatened to cancel its March 31st opening day without a new deal. So that's Jeff Passan. The latest from him. It's not what you want. Not what you want.
But, Michael, look on the bright side. People are fully enthralled by the old versus elderly debate.
It's unbelievable.
You wouldn't have thought that we would end up having that conversation today, but now we're here, and the lack of baseball is affording us that opportunity. We, at some point, got to get into the I guess it'll be during ENN, but this Cain Velasquez story is pretty crazy.
You know, it is. I guess it was last week. Rick DiPietro said on DiPietro and Rothenberg, the fine vehicle from 5 to 8 in the morning,
sure,
that he prank calls every show on the station. And Christopher O'Malley said that sounded like Humpty prank calling the show as Richard from Connecticut. I wonder.
Do you have the drop, Anthony, of quote Richard from Connecticut?
I've been a Yankee fan since 1954.
Buster and Nutley.
No, I don't think that's him.
Let me hear it one more time.
I've been a Yankee fan since 1954.
I don't think so, but like you thought I was Gil. All I had to do was go, Michael, it's Gil from Benson Hess. If Joe Girardi or Aaron Judge Boone, if he doesn't,
Gil.
And I tricked you.
We are going to talk to the great, the champ, Buster Olney, in just a moment, get his take on what's happening right now down in Jupiter. Seems like these two sides are on different planets, but we'll see what Buster has to say. It's Kay Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Rob Manfred speaking in Jupiter, Florida, and he did what we assumed he was going to do. He canceled the first two series for every team for the Mets. That will include three games on March 31st, April 2nd, and April 3rd against the Nationals at Citi Field, and April 4th and April 5th against the Braves at Citi Field. The Yankees were going to open on the road, so the Mets will lose five games. The Yankees are going to lose seven games. They had scheduled on March 31st, April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, a four-game set in Arlington against the Rangers, and then they'd move to three games in Houston against the Astros. So those games have been canceled. They will not be made back up, according to Manfred. So opening day for the Yankees, if they do come to an agreement before that to cancel more games, would now be April 7th at Yankee Stadium against the Boston Red Sox. So that's where we stand right now, and it's a dark day. It really is. So obviously he's telling you everything that the owners did, and I will tell you, I've said, I sound like a broken record, I'm not going to sit here and take sides. Holding at 220 is what caused this. There is no reason that the owners could not have gone up more in the competitive balance tax. There's no reason. It can be done. The players, they want it. Let me see. I want to get you the right numbers. They want it like 235 and 240. Here it is. The players want it 238, 244, 250, 256, and ending the five-year agreement at 263 for the top-rated number. Now, obviously, those are all negotiable. But, when Rob tells you, we have a competitive balance issue and, there's a disparity. This is what I keep telling you, Peter, and all of our listeners about the problem in this negotiation. It's not with the players totally. It's with the other owners. So they're talking about a disparity which would, disturb competitive balance. And all I would say is if you run your organization the right way, you can make do. Nobody has more of a disparity in payroll than the Tampa Bay Rays and the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Tampa Bay Rays finished first. So if you know what you're doing and you're creative and you're dynamic in your decisions, you can get it done. But if you're the Miami Marlins and you want a payroll of $50 million, well, that's your bad. That's your bad. So I think there's going to be a long, drawn-out thing if the owners stay at 220. And not only do they want to stay at 220, they want to stay at 220 for three straight years. That's the problem right there. You can talk about everything else. You can talk about tanking. You can talk about drafts. You can talk about the playoff system. That is the issue right there because it's not a guardrail. It's a cap. And shame on the players for agreeing to it a couple of collective bargaining agreements ago. Now they want to get away from it, and I understand they do. Well, you're never going to get rid of it because you let it in the door. Now it's up to the owners to be a little bit more fair and pump that up a little bit and make it so that if you go over that number, then the lower market teams get the money from the tax. And that gives them more money to spend rather than just putting in their pocket. Because when I hear stuff like this and I hear why these series have been canceled, I cannot believe, knowing what I know, that the Los Angeles Dodgers, the New York Yankees, the New York Mets, the Boston Red Sox, to name four teams, can be happy about this. I can't believe it. I won't believe it. They have the money to spend. But these things are put in to stop owners that want to really go nuts. And they're saying that they don't want a one rogue owner to go nuts or two rogue owners to go nuts and have a $400 million payroll and really separate themselves from the lower market teams where they say they can't compete. You know, we talk about expansion and things like that. For the betterment of this sport, maybe, I hate to say it, maybe you got to get rid of teams from small markets. Buy them out, make the league smaller. Because if they can't compete, they can't compete, then they shouldn't be in the game. Because the way baseball is, it's not revenue sharing. So everybody's not operating from the same revenue stream. So that being the case, you got to get teams that are closer to the same revenue streams, Peter. I don't know how many markets there are like that. But if Pittsburgh can't compete and Tampa Bay can't compete and Miami can't compete, then fold them.
You're not better off trying to consider changing sharing revenue?
But if you're the L.A. Dodgers, you paid a premium for your team. And if you're the New York Yankees, you bought the New York Yankees. You didn't buy the Pittsburgh Pirates. So now all of a sudden you want to share all the advantages you have in revenue? It's hard to put the milk back in the udder once the game starts. It's hard to change the rules of the game. So I just don't think that would ever work. This isn't football because this is not a sport that operates solely on national television money, which is split 32 ways in football. This is a sport that's operated on regional sports network money, which is different in Kansas City than it is in Boston, than it is in New York, than it is in Chicago, than it is in L.A. It'd be a very complicated formula. It's just structurally, it leads to situations like this where the owners are not only debating the players, but the owners are debating the owners. Again, I don't see the blinker. We'll come back. First two series, they have been canceled for each and every team. So the Mets lose two series at Citi Field. The Yankees lose two series on the road. We'll be back on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Marcus Stroman has weighed in.
What does Marcus say?
He's tweeted 2 minutes ago, Manfred gotta go.
Yeah, because it's Rob Manfred that's deciding this. It's not the owners. Why doesn't he say something about the Cubs owners? You don't think that they're they tanked for 5 years to win a World Series? Again, yeah. There's the convenient villain is Rob Manfred because he's doing the bidding of the owners, but he's doing the bidding of the owners.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he doesn't do himself any favors.
No, he's not great in front of a microphone.
No, the tone in that presser is one that makes you feel he's saying, look at you, you guys could have fixed it, you didn't. But the truth is, yeah, Michael, of course, this is a guy who wants games to happen more than anyone.
Somebody on Twitter brings up a really good point, too. So you're canceling the first two series, not a certain amount of games. So now you're going to run into a problem where the Mets lose five games. Another team in the National League East might lose seven. The Yankees lose seven games. I don't know. The Boston Red Sox might lose five. So when all is said and done and baseball does return, hopefully at some point, there's going to be an odd number of games for each team, which is going to be unfair in deciding who's going to win a division or go to the playoffs. That's going to be another problem you run into. And that's going to be another issue when you continue these negotiations. You think the players are going to sit down or lie down and lose their money when there's a whole calendar after the World Series that you could just push the World Series into November, which has precedence. It's happened twice in baseball's history. And make up the games. You think the players want to give up that? Now the owners, I think that part of this is, okay, if you're not going to give us what we want, then we're not going to play in April, and you're going to lose $20 million a day, and that's money that the owners don't have to spend. So now we're looking at an odd number of games for each team. I don't mean like 3, 5, 7. I mean the Yankees might finish with 150 games. The Red Sox might finish with 148. What a mess. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to LJ in the Bronx. LJ.
Hey, Michael Peter, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, just very disappointed about what's happening right here with baseball. You know, this really should have been settled, you know, when this happened. It's a real shame that it got this far. You know, it really is. You know, the both sides are to blame with some things right here. It's just a real shame it got this far. You know, and I wanted to ask you, when do you think negotiations will resurface?
Well, Manfred said that, you know, Thursday would be the most likely. So today's Tuesday, and the players' representatives have gone back to New York. So, I mean, in a world where you really dial up the pressure, I guess it could start again tomorrow. But he's saying Thursday. So even with a Thursday settlement, which isn't going to happen, then they wouldn't be able to get the teams in camp until March 8th, which would be 23 days to the start of the season. They couldn't do it. They feel they need 4 weeks to get a team ready. So that's the issue right now. When people say they could have done this earlier, what I will tell them is this. The players have been angry at the owners for a long time. They know they got their butts handed to them. They got taken to the woodshed in the last collective bargaining agreement. And then the owners smartly and the GM smartly then found the cracks in that agreement and used it to their advantage, which is, you know, their job. And the players got angry at it, which I understand. So they didn't want to talk earlier. And as Manfred said, they tried to broach some things, but they were ticked off. And just looking at the history of labor relations, nothing gets done until you start losing money. And the lockout started on December 2nd. Nobody lost a dime. Nobody has lost a dime until 40 minutes ago when Rob Manfred canceled the first two series. Now people are losing money. That's when people get, you know, that's when they take notice. And until people take notice because they're losing money, you can't expedite negotiations. People are idealistic. This is what we want. This is what we're going to get. But now you're past the 11th hour. Now you're in the point where people are losing money, and that becomes serious time. And maybe that does spur on more negotiations. But I'm just worried because there are diametric differences between the two sides. And now on top of that, the players are not going to accept that they will not get paid for the first two series. They will want those games made up. And the owners won't want to make them up. Let's go to Anthony in Fairlawn. Anthony.
Hey, guys. I start by saying I missed Don. I hope he's back soon.
Yes.
So, Mike, you were saying, you know, I know you're saying that fans will be back, but I, for one, am one that will not be back, at least in the same form that I was before this. And let me explain. For, like, over 20 years, I've been a diehard fan, watching or listening to 162 games of the year. If I missed it, I'd TiVo it. I'd watch it later. But over the last 6-7 years, baseball has slowly lost me. And this now is the straw that broke the camel's back. And I'm not saying I'll never watch another game or anything like that, but I'm definitely not as emotionally invested. I'm definitely not going to spend as much money. I'm definitely not going to go to the games probably for a long time. And I think if you love baseball as much as you do, Mike, you would tell your fans not to run back to the game right away. When it does return, we should make the owners and the players win us back.
But you said disagree with that.
They lost for the last 7 years. Why? The style of play?
That's one of it. You know, the strikeout or the home run, that has killed it. I hate that they added the extra playoff game. It devalues the 162-game season. You know, even maybe going back even more than that.
Let me stop you there. Are you a fan of other sports?
Yes. Football, hockey.
You don't care. Almost every team in hockey makes the playoffs. That's okay, but baseball adds an extra playoff team, and that gets you.
Well, but the difference is that in hockey is that you got to play a series, right? So in baseball, you can win 100 games, not win the division, and then you're out in one baseball game, which goes against. And I've heard you argue this too. It goes against everything that baseball is.
I've never argued it. Here's what I've said. If you don't want to play that one game, then win the division. It's right there for you. The rules are what the rules are. If you, I mean, there was many, many years ago, the either the Dodgers or the Giants won the division with 104 wins. The other team won 103. They went home. So the one-game playoff, I'm sorry, suck it up. Either win the division or you have to play the one-game playoff. Well, that's being eliminated now anyway.
My other question is, how does baseball win someone like him back?
I don't know. But, again, I'm not saying that he's not telling the truth, Peter. But let's say he's in Jersey, so let's just assume that he's a Yankee fan. And baseball starts again in May, and the Yankees get off to a great start, and they're 40-10 in their first 50 games, rocking and rolling. Everybody's hitting. Gerrit Cole hasn't lost a game, an ERA of 1.2. He's not going to watch the game. Again, I'm not doubting them. I'm just saying, really? Because, again, you're mad at the owners, you're mad at the players, whatever, whoever you're mad at the business aspect of it. But the actual game, the thing that excited you as a kid that has made him a 20-year fan, that starts to play again. And what exactly is your reason for not watching it again? What message are you trying to send? You're only hurting yourself. Will they lose fans? Yeah, I guess they'll lose fans. Will they lose enough fans that'll cripple the sport? I just don't believe so. I don't believe so. And he said I should tell fans not to go back. Why would I tell fans not to do something they enjoy? If it's the point of no return, then you don't go back. But why would I tell people you shouldn't go back to make the owners and the players pay? Once that deal is signed for 5 years, the owners and the players have no worries about this stuff. Then it just becomes accounting. So the only one you're spiting is yourself. If you, in fact, love baseball and you're saying, that's it, this is it, I'm not going to go back, okay, then you have to fill that time. Let's see how you do it. And I'm not being arrogant. There are a lot of things to fill your time now. Let's see if you choose to go away from something that you have loved for a long time. The actual sport you've loved for a long time. The business is always ugly. In all sports, in all endeavors, I'm sure the movie business is ugly. That's why you don't want to see how the sausage is being made. But because in this age of media and social media, we are watching the sausage being made and we don't like it.
Not really, no.
We don't like it. It stinks. And it tells us, you know what? This is a really big business. We've all known it. But now it's playing out in real time in front of us. We'll be back on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.